And welcome back to the locker room, and we do have Chuck Berry there, Darren Berry on the line. How are you going, Darren?
Very good. Good morning, boys. Always exciting cricket season. Footy season was great, but today we kick off, obviously, with our local cricket, premier cricket, and the state stuff's already underway.
Fantastic. And just off air then, you were mentioning that Paddy Rowe, a bit of news about Paddy Rowe.
Yeah, young boy from the Peninsula School, really talented young kid. He's keeping wickets today in the Melbourne first, which is a wonderful achievement. You know, still only a young boy, represented the Victorian under-17s during the school holidays, and he was selected in the Australian under-17 team, and he's playing today in the Melbourne first. So I'm actually going to drive up to town and watch him for a little bit, and then come back down and catch up with a bit of local cricket this afternoon.
That's great news. We've been following Paddy a bit, and he does his training with one of the local trainers that that we get on the station from time to time. And he was very impressed with his general approach to things. Ty Hanley was the trainer.
Yep, he's a very mature young man, boys. He's wonderful family. You know, the old man was a good footballer, but. I've spent a bit of time with the young lad wicket-keeping, doing some private stuff with him over the last probably 2 years, really, and he's a really level-headed kid. So you never want to place huge expectations on a young man, but I think he's got the right ingredients, and today will be very... They're playing Fitzroy Doncaster, who have been back-to-back premiers in the premier competition. So I know he was a bit nervous yesterday about it, but what a great achievement for local lad.
Gee, and Australia's looking for a keeper too, Darren.
Yeah, Good, touche there. I think I'm a bit too old and a little bit overweight to come out of retirement, but Paddy Rowe might be the future. And let's hope he is. Wouldn't it be great if he could go all the way from the peninsula?
Indeed. And let's talk about your role on the Mornington Peninsula this year. Obviously, you had a bit of a role helping one or two of the clubs, and Baxter in particular, and last season. What have you been doing this year?
Yeah, look, last year, Baxter and Mornington, to be honest, and I really enjoyed both clubs. Fantastic clubs, well administered, and Baxter went on to win the first 11 premiership. That was great, but what gave me equal enjoyment last year was my role at Mornington. And it was only a small role. You know, I'd pop in probably every 3 weeks, got to know the boys. Saw Vossi behind the bar, or holding up the bar regularly.
That'd be true, yeah.
But they won the club championship last year, Mornington, and they've got a wonderful junior program. Rob Parker down there does a really good job, and delighted today that a couple of those young boys are actually making their first 11 debut for Mornington against the Peninsula Old Boys. So I've continued on with Mornington through the pre-season, also just individual work with some of the batsmen, some of the younger batsmen, and they've got some really good kids at the Mornington Cricket Club. So thoroughly enjoyed getting to know the people last year. And Baxter have changed their coach, their president. Our friend Darren Uccello has taken over, and he said he was going to get me down to do a little bit of work with Baxter as well. So I've maintained my role at both clubs, but more so this season with Mornington.
I was going to touch on that actually, Chuck, in regards to the two boys making their debut, Smalley and Mooney today. Smalley obviously a bat from the twos. Mooney played in the threes premiership last year, but played a bit of twos cricket. It's just great to see, like, those boys started off in the fours and fives and worked their way up, and they've thoroughly deserved their opportunity.
That's what I really enjoyed, Bossy, to be honest, at Mornington, the way that the older players and you know, the guys like yourself around the club that really nurture the younger kids. And it took me back, boys, to when I was growing up in Wonthaggi as a young kid, exactly the same, with some good role models around me. And that's the part I enjoyed. And look, there's others down at Mornington. Zach Garnett, Charlie Parker's an exciting young wicketkeeper batsman, young Robbie O'Toole, the leg spinner. So there's probably five or six kids in the Mornington first today under 21 who I think are really good cricketers. And that's what I really enjoyed about Mornington Cricket Club. And then there's others in the twos without going through all the names. Young Basie, the left-arm spinner and batsman, come up from the threes. So, look, I'm going to head up to Melbourne after this interview, watch a little bit of Paddy Rowe today, and then I'm going to come back and have a look at Mornington Peninsula Old Boys, and I might poke my head in. I think Baxter have got Lang Warren at home. So do the rounds and have a look at the local talent.
Now, there was a story, and I think Darren Uccello may have mentioned this when we spoke to him semi-final day, that at one stage when you were talking to the Baxter boys, you were trying to get the best out of Chris Brattain. You talked to him about being the premier batsman down here. Mm-hmm. And Dan Warwick was ears pricked up, and he made a few runs just from that point. Is there some truth in that one? Did Darren have that story right? Or?
Yeah, no, he did. He absolutely. And look, I'll maintain Chris Brattain, he's a class above mine, what I saw last year in the competition. And I have no hesitation in saying if Chris Brattain wanted to, he could go and play Premier Cricket today and be a significant contributor. I think he's an outstanding batsman. Equally, Daniel Warwick and Baxter are lucky because they've got both of them. You know, Dan Warwick's a proud man, and he's captain of the club, and he's again this year. He's a very technically correct player, Dan Warwick. So maybe what I created indirectly was a bit of competition between the two, and we know Brattain made 1,000 and that Daniel Warwick was the 700 or 800 runs last year. So, you know, two outstanding players.
And another thing that impressed me, I must say, Dan Warwick has a great habit of getting a field in the right place and just hosing down good shots from from the batsmen of the opposition. He seemed to be pretty astute in his captaincy as well.
Good captains make a huge difference, and in particular in local cricket. And he's very professional, Dan Warwick, still very fit. So, you know, Baxter are lucky to have those two. I mean, you know, let's be honest, Baxter got a very good side. Dale Irving's a wonderful cricketer. And last year, there was a lot of sort of the lesser lights that really stood up. So, look, Baxter again for me, I reckon will be the side to beat. I don't think they've lost anybody. They're going to be challenged again. Obviously, Mount Eliza are up there. Peninsula Old Boys, I know I spoke at a function for the Old Boys last Friday on Grand Final Eve. And they were pretty keen to make amends. And I'm hoping and believe that Mornington, with Sam Wees, who's come back from Frankston, he'll be a wonderful addition for Mornington Cricket Club. I suppose I'm a little bit biased with my association. Gee, I'd love to see Mornington and Baxter play off in the Grand Final.
Absolutely. All right. And Mornington Baxter play next week, and I think that'll be our match of the day on the radio, so that'll be interesting.
Oh, I'll be around, boys, so if you're on radio, I'll come and say hello for 5 minutes.
Good on you. Thanks, Darren. Now, Bush Rangers.
Yep.
Let's talk a bit about them. Must have been pretty sad during the week, James Pattinson having to have another break, then that stress fracture. He just can't take a trick, can he?
Actually, Darren, before you even answer that one, we spoke to Doug Ackerley not so long ago in relation to a book he'd written basically blaming the introduction of the front foot no-ball rule decades back for the increase in the number of fast bowlers suffering stress fractures. Have you got any thoughts on that? I mean, he's the latest victim. You know, why are they so prevalent these days, do you reckon?
Well, look, I'm quite good friends with Doug Ackley, so I've got a copy of that book as well. It's a very interesting read for any listeners that are interested in the history of the game when the no-ball rule changed from the back foot to the front foot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in long story short, he's saying that they have to pull up their body and put 8.5 times your body weight through your front foot without that back foot drag. It's increased it. Now, there's some merit in when you think about that. Pattinson is a big blow for Australian cricket. And look, this is the third or the fourth time that this has happened. So how many times, you know, does a man go to the well to do the rehab? I'm really worried about him now. He's a fantastic young man, James Pattinson. But this has been going on for, you know, a long time now. So I know there's huge concerns about his future. And then on the Bush Rangers front, I also read a bit of a local boy who lives in Frankston South now, John Hastings, originally from New South Wales. He actually announced his retirement yesterday after... Oh. Yeah,
injury.
Put a break in news.
Another back injury.
Yeah, another injury for him. So he's decided Shield cricket is out, one day cricket. He's going to try and he's not retiring totally. He's going to focus on the 2020 cricket around the world. And look, you might see him a little bit more for Frankston Peninsula putting out for them a little bit. But the Bush Rangers, again, I mean, they're wonderful, strong depth. And I noticed during the week, I don't know if you boys did, Cameron White. An amazing 165 in one day cricket. So he keeps telling the selectors, the Australian selectors, and let's be honest, we'll get to them in a minute. The Aussie boys haven't been going that well in one day cricket of recent times, or in any cricket. We're pretty poor in the Test series in Bangladesh. And Cameron White seems to be the forgotten person, and like, you know, we won't pick him again. Well, his one-day record in the last 3 or 4 years is outstanding.
Yeah. Just wondering whether, with Peter Hanscom named as captain, whether that's taking some of the pressure off, whether that's made a difference to Cam White or not?
Well, yes, I would say yes. And last year, Matthew Wade did it as well. But the thing was, Matthew Wade was away a bit, and Peter Hanscom's going to be away a bit. And what they tend to do is they fall back to Cameron White. He said last year, I'm not doing it again.
Yeah.
Well, he was captain in this game in Perth the other day when he made 165 because Hanscom's away with the Australian side. So whilst he's not the designated captain, I think you'll find that he'll fill in a little bit.
Mm. Chuck, do you reckon Cameron White's been sort of stamped? He's 34 years of age. Do you think he's been stamped as never to be picked for Australia again? Personally, I'd like to see him at least in the one day form of the side, as you touched on the 165 during the week. I still think he's got a lot to offer personally. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I concur, Vossi, on with you. In particular, maybe not in Test cricket. You know, I think he's recently had his 34th birthday. So look, he's no spring chicken, but he's still fit, he's still able, and his mind is still strong. I think he's still absolutely on with you. If I was an Australian selector, Cameron White would be right on my one-day radar.
Sean Marsh is a similar age, and if you're thinking of Sean Marsh in any form of cricket, you've got to be thinking Cameron White, surely.
Absolutely. Well, you know, all of us locals, we think along the same lines. Sometimes I'm not exactly sure what these Aussie guys do, and, you know, they've got to sort out the wicket-keeping position as well. They've been to-ing and fro-ing ever since Haddon's retirement. They've had Wade, they've had Neville, they've had Tim Payne in there. For a little bit. They're talking now about the kids from South Australia. Personally, I think Peter Neville is the best wicketkeeper in the country, and I would be reinstating him for the Ashes and stick with him. Leave him in there. Mm. The wicketkeeper at the highest level is such an important ingredient in the team, and it needs to be a stable position. Healy did it, Gilchrist did it, and Haddon did it. And the last 2 years, we've been chopping and changing every series, and no one really knows. So time to settle down there, and personally, I'd be going for Peter Neville.
And Darren, how good a keeper is Peter Hanscom? Is he good enough now, or will he ever be good enough, to take the gloves for Australia?
It's a good question, and the answer is he's not good enough right now, and the only reason is because he gave them up about 3 or 4 years ago when Matthew Wade was keeping for Victoria. The stupid people said, oh, give up your wicket-keeping and just focus on your batting. I can tell you this for a fact. If Peter Hanscom kept his gloves up and kept keeping all the time or whenever possible, then I think he would be the test wicketkeeper now and batting at six. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
But he hasn't done enough of it. And look, he's a really good player, Peter Hanscom. Good kid. And he can keep. He's not a day. He's better than a part-timer. He kept right through his junior days. But, you know, when you haven't done it, I found it staggering, boys. I don't know about you. He is in Victoria. Last year, Matthew Wade was number one, Sam Harper was number two, and their third choice was Peter Hanscom. How on earth do you keep for Australia when you're the third choice for your state? I just didn't find that. I found that uncomfortable.
Yeah. Look, I just want to mention a couple of the new members of the Bushrangers squad. You might be able to help us with them, and then we'll go into the Ashes. So Will Pekowski, Zach Evans, Will Sutherland, Mitch Perry have all picked up rookie contracts and in the squad. Can you tell us anything about any of those boys?
Pekowski is an exciting right-hand batsman. His old man was a good cricketer as well at club level. So Pekowski's made a lot of runs at the underage level. He's in the Victorian one-day team at the moment. Good player. I think he's at Melbourne Cricket Club. Good player. Zach Evans I know very well. I'm coaching him at Xavier College. He's a right-arm opening bowler. Again, like I said with Paddy Rowe, a mature young kid. And genuinely fast. Keep an eye on this kid, Zach Evans. Maybe a bit too soon now, but in a couple of years, you know, he's got serious pace. Will Sutherland, the son of the Cricket Australia CEO, is a big, strong all-rounder. Bowls a heavy ball and hits it a long way. Not dissimilar to a John Hastings type of bowler, if you like. Or he's definitely a talent, a very good footballer, and he chose cricket. And the last boy, Perry, I don't know, but I know he's a bowler, and I think he's at Richmond Cricket Club. I haven't seen him personally, but I know he's a bowler as well.
Fantastic. Let's move on to the Ashes. Mick's
we're 6 weeks away or so away from the first Test match. Now, is it as simple as the top five for Australia picks itself, with the number six spot being the only spot. And I'm saying Warner, Renshaw, Khawaja, Smith, Hanscom being the top five. Or do you think that maybe Khawaja might be struggling? Or how do you sort of see the balance of that makeup, Chuck?
Yeah, number six is definitely up for grabs. And whether they try their continual search for an all-rounder or whether they have Glenn Maxwell or Travis Head is another name that I'm hearing strongly for number six, who are both sort of off-spinners, if you like, at that sixth position. That's definitely up for grabs. And you could debate the number three. You know, Khawaja got dropped in Bangladesh for the second test. I think they might start the Ashes with Usman Khawaja. I know Darren Lehman's a bit of a fan. But, yeah, you'd have to say number three is questionable. Renshaw and Warner will open. Smith and Hanscom are going to be locked down at four and five. I'd say Khawaja, but, you know, I don't know whether they entertain Marsh again. Or do they say, you know what, let's go with Travis Head at three and invest in the kid. And there's others that will have claims. Six is open. The wicket-keeping spot for me has to be nailed down at number seven. And then they were hoping to have all four of their big fast bowlers up and firing. Well, we now know Pattinson is down, so that brings them back. And we know Mitchell Starc and Josh Hazlewood have both had injuries recently. So that's still up for conjecture. Jackson Bird went down yesterday in Perth with a hamstring, so he's out of the first few Shield matches. Which brings my man from Adelaide, which I've mentioned to you boys before, Chad Sayers. Hopefully, he comes into calculation. Nathan Lyon is obviously, his reputation in the off-season has grown enormously. He'll be our number one spinner. So, you know, there won't be too many surprises, but like Bossy said, number six is the one that we will debate over the drip tray at Mornington Cricket Club tonight.
And Darren, we speculated last week that if Ben Stokes does eventually get the green light to join the Ashes touring party, Australia might look to bring in WBC champion Jeff Horn to balance things out a bit. What are your thoughts on that, mate?
Well, Davey Warner, I reckon, had a crack at Joe Root a few years ago. So, look, I know we're sort of joking about it and from an Ashes perspective, but I don't know if you guys watched that footage and I've heard all the excuses of why he did it. That was ordinary, very disgraceful act from mine for what he did. And he chased that bloke. He could have just let it go. But let's be honest, nothing very good happens after midnight when you've been drinking. It was 2:30 in the morning. And unfortunately for me, boys, it brought up a lot of very bad memories, which we've touched on before, because it probably brought back into my mind the tragic David Hook's passing, of which I was there that night in exactly the same circumstances we witnessed there. And so, look, I didn't like what I saw from Stokes. It was horrible. What the ECB do with it, I don't know. You know, personally, I'd be reprimanding that bloke severely. However, strictly on a cricket point of view, England need Stokes if they're going to be competitive in the Ashes. That's a fact. So with that, I think England will do something to penalise him, but I reckon he'll be here for the Ashes because he's a very good cricketer.
Yeah, it was announced an hour ago that he won't be travelling with the rest of the squad, but that still gives them a bit of leeway to bring him in late if they need to.
Yeah, and I don't know, and I didn't know that news. Yeah. So look, I know the guy in charge over there, Andrew Strauss, former skipper, he's very upset with what took place. So you never know. They might make a statement and say, mate, we're not having that, you're out. But from a cricket point of view, I think they would like him to be here from a cricket point of view.
And Darren, I saw that Steve Smith's been getting a fair bit of criticism from former captain Michael Clarke, you know, during the one-day series against India, that disastrous series. In your opinion, is he still the best man to lead the team?
Look, he's respected by the boys. That's important.
Yep.
He's a very good batsman, no doubt about that. But I think tactically, absolutely, he's got some faults at times. And the best captains are proactive and a step ahead of the game. At times, I think Steve Smith is a little bit reactive and maybe, you know, not quite ahead of the game. So I think the criticism, no one likes criticism, but, yeah, I think it's warranted. I mean, Michael Clarke was very good tactically. You know, Ricky Ponting wasn't great tactically, to be honest. He was a great player and an inspirational leader.
And he had Shane Warne and he had Glenn McGrath to throw the ball to.
That was pretty handy, absolutely, when you've got great players. Mark Taylor is the best in my time as captain. I mean, you've got a few older guys might go back to Ian Chappell. Mark Taylor was brilliant as a tactician and a cool head. Steve Smith's the man. They're going to continue with him. But I think he needs to get a right-hand man who he really trusts, and I don't think that's David Warner, because I don't think Warner is tactically the man. So I tell you who is, and as he consolidates his spot, don't be surprised if this bloke's not the next vice-captain of Australia. We spoke about him before. That's Peter Hanscombe. Very good cricket brain.
Which is interesting. Well, just briefly, before we finish, mate, well, if you look at the English Ashes squad, obviously Joe Root's looking for them. Anderson and Broad have been two of the stalwarts for many years.
Yep.
Who are some of the danger players, do you think?
Yeah, look, I looked at their squad, and there's, for us, you know, there's probably six or seven. You go, who's he? We don't know a lot about. I know there's a young wicketkeeper that I watched a bit, folks, who's in the side. He's a good player, and look, I think he'll be behind Bairstow, and I think that's the two they've picked. But, I mean, don't also overlook the opening batsman, the former captain. We've sort of forgotten about him a little bit. He's still a pretty good player,
Alistair Cook.
But they're going to rely again, and this might be their Achilles heel. They're going to rely on Anderson and Broad, as you said, as their two experienced bowlers, who have been outstanding bowlers for England, make no mistake. But their record in Australia is nowhere near as good as what it is around the rest of the world. So, look, on paper, and, you know, sometimes paper, you know what you do with paper, you roll it up, throw it away and do other things. On paper, Australia, I think, are better, but the Ashes always brings out the best in both teams. I can't wait for the summer ahead. Of their younger players, it's probably, you know, there's a few names in there. That you would, Dawid Malan, who's originally a South African boy, he's a good player. I've had a bit to do with him in 2020 competitions. But when I looked at their squad, I thought no one really jumped out at me to say, hey, this is an exciting selection. So I'm on the Aussies.
All right. So the first test, 23rd to the 27th of November at the Gabba. And we'll be really looking forward to that one.
Can't wait. Looking forward. Every time there's an Ashes summer on, you know, can't wait. Kicks off at the Gabba, as you boys said, in 5 or 6 weeks' time. And there's a one-day series and stuff around it. So it should be an exciting summer of cricket after an outstanding football season. Not a Tigers supporter, but my young bloke is. He was very happy when Richmond won the flag and Dustin Martin won
everything.
Medal there is. It shows to anyone listening this morning in sport, if you get alignment at your club from the top to the bottom, you know, their president, the CEO, the coach, the captain and all the players, everyone bought into what Richmond were doing. They were 13th last year and they were a laughing stock at times. They are now the premiers. It was a great lesson, I reckon, for everyone.
Absolutely. Darren, it's been great chatting with you, and we'll catch up a few times during the year. Exciting times. Good on you. Thanks.
No worries, boys. I might see you next Saturday at the big game, Mornington versus Baxter.
Cheers.